From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs. Greetings to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I want to welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat a true champion of the National Association of Postal Supervisors and the Postal Service itself, the chairman of the House Subcommittee on Government Operations, the Honorable Jerry Connolly from Virginia. Welcome to Naps Chat, Chairman Connolly.
Great to be with you, Bob.
Before we begin the gist of our conversation today, on behalf of NAPS, I want to thank you for your leadership in introducing H.R. 6085, the Postal Supervisors and Managers Fairness Act. This program isn't about that act, because we want to talk about something very, very critical to the United States Postal Service and its employees. Particularly, we'd like to talk to the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic has had and will continue to have on postal finances. So, Mr. Chairman, have you been advised by Postal Headquarters about the current situation relating to revenue and mail volume as impacted by COVID-19?
We have been in touch with the Postmaster General and her staff, and it's our understanding that the COVID-19 pandemic has led to a very steep decline in mail volume. And, of course, following that decline in volume is a decline in revenue. The Postal Service was not in great fiscal shape to begin with. It was technically insolvent. This greatly exacerbates the problem. In fact, the estimate is that the Postal Service could actually run out of cash by June. So this is a very grave situation for the Postal Service, and it requires, in my view, immediate attention.
So the postal reform legislation that we've been talking about for the last year and a half, that'll be put sort of aside for the moment, and we're going to be talking about immediate emergency relief in order that the Postal Service be able to sustain itself in the short term. Is that accurate?
That's correct. My view is we just passed a $2.2 trillion emergency relief bill, and included in that bill was assistance for distressed industries, like the airline industry. Now, the airline industry is also a very important and essential service for travel and for cargo in the United States. That industry employs about 425,000 people compared to the Postal Service, which employs 630,000 people. The airline industry had record profits by largely, you know, gouging every last penny it could out of its traveling customers. And those record profits for 5 years were in substantial part used for stock buyback. And so when the pandemic hit and airlines essentially found that their traffic dried up, they, of course, came hat in hand to the government asking for a bailout, and they got it. Now, the Postal Service is a service that provides service to every household and every business in America every day. And it is an essential service we almost take for granted. If the airline industry qualified for assistance, the Postal Service must be addressed.
Now, the Postal Service has been considered a vital component of our nation's infrastructure. And as such, a shrinkage of revenue, since we are don't currently rely on taxpayer dollars, the impact of the revenue shortfall, the revenue loss and volume loss is going to have an impact on operations. How do you think that is going to affect operations of the Postal Service and how it serves your constituents as well as the constituents of each member of the House of Representatives?
Obviously, the men and women who work for the Postal Service take pride in their work and want to make sure that they plow through. But they have to have the resources with which to do that. And we need to be realistic that if revenue collapses, as some have predicted it will, especially if this pandemic is prolonged, the Postal Service simply doesn't have the fallback or the cushion to protect itself revenue-wise. And that inevitably will lead to disruption of service. And that's what we're trying to avoid. That's what I tried to avoid with the provisions we were successful in getting into the House version of the bill. Unfortunately, those provisions were stripped out by the White House and the Republican Senate.
Let's talk about those provisions that were in the third economic stimulus package, the so-called COVID-19 Phase 3. Under your leadership and Chairwoman Maloney's leadership at the helm of the House Oversight and Reform Committee, there were provisions in there for $25 billion in emergency appropriations, relief from past debt, and a $15 billion increase in authority to borrow from the U.S. Treasury. The Senate bill solely included a $10 billion increase in its authority with lots of strings attached to it. Could you talk about potential strings that could have been attached to that $10 billion? And what does $10 billion in increased budget authority buy for the Postal Service?
From my point of view, the Senate bill that ultimately became law is a non-starter for the Postal Service. Simply adding to the ability of the Postal Service to tap into credit lines simply adds to its debt and digs a deeper hole for the Postal Service, from my point of view. What the Postal Service needs is debt forgiveness and a cash infusion. The provisions we had coming out of our subcommittee in the House would have done those two things and would have stabilized the Postal Service financially through this pandemic and probably through the end of the year, giving it breathing space to recover. Unfortunately, the bill that survived did none of that, and the conditionality you referred to was imposed last year when the Postal Service was trying to lift its debt cap by the Department of Treasury. And the Department of Treasury, in its conditionality, all but took over the day-to-day management of the Postal Service itself. And I believe that's a very dangerous road to go down, because we know that there are a number of people in this administration, including in the Department of Treasury, who really don't like and don't believe in the Postal Service because it's big, it's quasi-governmental, and it's unionized. And those three things make it very suspect in this administration. And we got a hint of that when they put together their so-called commission to look at postal reform, which, of course, concluded that privatization would be a preferred route to go. I oppose that vigorously. I believe Congress will oppose that. I believe the American people, when they understand the consequences that would flow from that action, will oppose it vigorously as well. So there is a not-so-secret agenda in the conditionality that the Department of Treasury would impose on that $10 billion that makes it a non-starter.
Because the Postal Board of Governors generally is a political entity, and the majority right now are Republican members, I believe it's 3-2, do you think they will have the fortitude to protect the integrity of the Postal Service against these attacks?
I certainly hope the Postal Board will do the right thing and will protect the Postal Service and will fight for relief. The airline industry had very effective lobbyists. The Postal Service needs advocates, and we should start with the Postal Board itself. However, we can't count on that because of the political division you cited. And that's why Congress is so important here. And the voices of postal workers and their patrons and their stakeholders must be heard. It bothers me when I watch television or listen to the news and people refer to essential employees, and they never, in reciting who those people are, almost never mention postal workers. And yet, it's the one thing we take for granted every day. We're in isolation, not working, we're not congregating. Events, sports activities have been canceled, political activities have been canceled, concerts and museums have been closed, small businesses and restaurants have been closed, but somehow we expect that mail to show up at our doorstep or in our mailbox every day at roughly the same time without fail. And so we're taking an essential service for granted, and I think it's time we put some focus on the needs of that essential service if it's going to continue unabated.
One of the interesting factoids included in a letter that you co-signed with some of your colleagues to the Secretary of the Treasury was the tremendous impact the Postal Service has on the delivery of prescription medications. I believe the letter cited a number that last year 1 billion prescription medications were actually mailed and delivered to American citizens. If the Postal Service were to be compromised, how are these Americans going to get their prescriptions? Because in a pandemic environment, a lot of retail pharmaceutical operations are really curtailing their hours and their access.
That's right. That's a really good point, Bob. You know, again, it's one of those things we just kind of take for granted. But millions of Americans rely on regular postal delivery for their essential medications. People with chronic conditions like diabetes or high blood pressure or even a heart condition rely on regular delivery of their medications through the mail. People rely on the mail for foodstuffs in many cases. And, of course, essential supplies and goods they otherwise can't get out to buy right now. And we're also, of course, relying on the mail in part for a successful census, which has been interrupted by the pandemic. But a lot of the success of this critical census is going to depend on the mail, both getting our census forms and sending them back. We're also talking about expanding voting by mail, maybe even making that a universal feature of American elections as we move forward, because in-person voting is going to be very problematic at best. So we're putting more burdens on the Postal Service on top of the critical service and delivery for essential supplies we rely on as a country, without giving them additional resources to meet those challenges. And that's why I think we have to sound the alarm bell and bring a lot more attention to the needs of the Postal Service. We only have a few opportunities legislatively. Everybody else is lining up. It's time for the Postal Service to be heard from. And I've certainly conveyed that message very emphatically to the Postmaster General. And I have done everything in my power through the media and with my colleagues on many, many conference calls. And we've just written a letter to leadership outlining what we hope will be in the fourth bill, what was not in the third bill, to provide necessary and required relief so the Postal Service can continue to function effectively.
Now, as you know, I think Representative Joe Neguse introduced H.R. 6425, which only deals with the appropriation amount of $25 billion to the Postal Service in emergency relief. But for our listeners, what they expect in a phase four COVID-19 economic stimulus package for the Postal Service?
Well, I believe that that $25 billion figure, which reflects the figure that my subcommittee came up with in the previous bill and has put forward again in this fourth bill, is quite consistent. The problem is not going to be the House of Representatives version of the bill. The problem is going to be the Republican Senate. We are informed that the president personally ordered that the postal provisions provided that financial relief be stripped out of the final bill, final $2.2 trillion bill. I think that's unconscionable on the part of the president, and I think it's similarly unconscionable on the part of the Republican Senate. The Postal Service is an essential service. It's bigger than the airline industry. It affects every household and every business in America every day, and it's got to get assistance in the midst of this pandemic.
Have you received, or have members of Congress received, any guidance from the postal headquarters, whether it be the Postmaster General or the Board of Governors, about what they specifically need in the next stimulus package?
I would say that the numbers you referred to, Bob, and that my subcommittee put forward in the previous bill reflect our understanding of the needs coming out of headquarters. I would say we're going to be briefed by the Postmaster General and have a conference call tomorrow to flesh out those needs and make sure we all understand where we are. But we need the leadership of the Postal Service to come out loud and clear that they need help. I believe, with the best of intentions, there have been a lot of statements coming out of the leadership of the Postal Service, reassuring people, reassuring stakeholders that service will continue uninterrupted. That's a worthwhile message of reassurance, but the problem is it conflicts with the message we're trying to convey to our colleagues in Congress, that financially the situation is deteriorating in a very serious way, and that we must intervene and provide help. And so I think the time for reassurance needs to be put aside, and the time for ringing that alarm bell has arrived. And I think it's very important that when we're talking about the Postal Service, we need to elevate public attention to this through the media and especially in Congress right now, as we are now beginning to deliberate on the contours of a fourth emergency relief bill. If the Postal Service doesn't get in that bill, we're in big trouble.
It would seem to me that the message is getting through to members of the House of Representatives, particularly the leadership of the House, and to you and to Chairman Maloney and to your entire committee. For whatever reason, the message is not getting through to many members of the Senate who are being extraordinarily deferential to the whims of the White House and whatever animus they have towards the Postal Service. How ought we deal with confronting the apparent White House opposition to postal relief?
As we know from the last bill, things get negotiated. And, you know, when the Democrats in the House were insistent, things happened. So, for example, the original Republican McConnell bill in the Senate had $0 for state and local governments, even though they're expected to bear the brunt of the coronavirus response. The House insisted on $150 billion, and we'll do more in the next bill. So we prevailed on that provision, and we prevailed on myriad of other provisions. We also lost some fights. The big one we lost here is the Postal Service. So that's why I think it's so important that my colleagues hear loud and clear this is not one to retreat from. This is not one on the chopping block you can give away. And the way we do that is elevating our voices, making sure everybody hears from us, and that we are all singing from the same hymnal as to the dire financial straits we face. If we don't do those two things, then we're going to lose this battle. And this is an opportunity to win this battle, but it's a very limited time of opportunity.
One of the things that NAPS is doing, and we've been having a series of Zoom meetings with our state legislative chairs and legislative leaders within the organization to communicate directly with members of the House and Senate, as well as state executives, to promote the Postal Service, because we think not only lobbying our federal officials, but also our state officials will be pivotal in generating the necessary political will to fight for the Postal Service. What more should we do?
I really think every employee of the Postal Service right now needs to see himself, herself as an advocate for the service. They need to make loud and clear their need for personal protection, because they're exposed, they're essential workers, they're expected to do their jobs, but they also put themselves at risk in doing so. And they need protective gear. They need hand sanitizer. They need to make sure that the rules of social distancing are being followed in the processing plant, in the post office itself, and out in the routes. But they also need to speak up. They need to contact their member of Congress, their U.S. senator. We need people to complain to the media. So when the media starts to enumerate who are essential workers and they fail to mention postal workers, make sure that a whole avalanche of complaints go to that station, that anchor, that program, so that they understand next time they got to include postal workers when they talk about it. I guarantee you, if that starts to happen, that is to say, the media message always starts to include postal workers. It elevates the issue, and it makes it a lot harder for both the White House and the Republican Senate to ignore.
Chairman Connolly, I really want to thank you for taking some valuable time. I know you're fighting on behalf of not only the postal employees, but the entire federal workforce. From your position as the subcommittee chair, I'd like just to invite you, if you have any last thoughts before we sign off this program.
I want to thank you for doing this podcast, Bob. I also want to just say to all of the employees of the Postal Service, please stay healthy, take care, be safe, and take care of your families. We'll get through this together.
Thank you, Chairman Connolly, and everyone, as the chairman said, be safe, and until next week.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm going